Welcome to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast, where we ask 10 questions of leading attorneys in the United States about what drives their firm forward. Today, your host is Ryan McKean.
Hey, everybody, it's Ryan McKean. I'm here today with attorney Nicole Christie. Attorney Nicole Christie practices in Hartford, Connecticut. She focuses her advocacy on children and families, providing representation with the Department of Children and Families, representing families through estate planning. And Nicole, you can tell us what else you do. But
that covers it, and also any child custody issues in family court as well as probate court.
Nicole, can you give us just a brief synopsis of your background?
Sure. So I was a worker for the Department of Children and Families, as well as a supervisor for about 11 years. During that time, I went to law school, loved it, loved the law, and so became a prosecutor after working for DCF and stayed there for about 12 years. Decided to go out on my own. Originally thought I was going to be a church attorney because I have a lot of activity in my churches. But then discovered the angle with working with DCF and really just trying to capitalize on my experience with DCF. And it's been great ever since.
So take us back. You're working in the prosecutor's office, mm-hmm. and you start, what makes you decide to leave? How long are you thinking about doing your own practice? What's the real impetus for starting your firm?
So even going back to working with DCF, there was something about not being able to have control over my schedule. You know, there were certain dictates and I would have a hard time with that. And as a prosecutor, you know, there's something to be said about having the stability of a paycheck, the stability of it has, you know, state of Connecticut has great health insurance for its employees. So those two things, you know, kind of kept me within, you know, the state system. But I'll never forget it. I was getting to a point where we were on trial. I felt like I was always on trial, either getting ready for trial, on trial, you know, recovering from trial. And I said, it would be nice to just be able to call my own shots. So I was sitting with an attorney, and I'll never forget it. She was a solo. She did a lot of work out of our court. And we were deciding on a continuance date for a file. And she said, wait a minute, I haven't taken time off this summer. She opens up her notebook and scratches out a couple of days and said, okay, I'll take this date. And I envied her from that moment. You know, she just was able to decide, this is the time I want to take off. And again, when you work for a boss, you have to ask and hope it gets approved. And I just loved that idea of being able to do the work that I love as well as call my own shots when it comes to the schedule.
So how long from that moment to actually launching your firm?
So that's the funny one. It took about 8 months. I think I thought about it for about 8 months and gave myself a date. I knew that if I didn't give myself a date, it could be a year or two, and I would have just sat on the opportunity, talked with different, you know, friends of mine, mentors, and they, you know, they all supported and said, that sounds like a great idea. You should do it. And so I went from that point to basically taking on like a second job. I would get home from work and spend the evening just researching on the internet, getting books, just trying to figure out how should I start and what should I do when I start.
Yeah, what you said resonated a lot with me. You know, when I wrote my launch chapter, when I initially started my firm, it was sort of the same thing. I'd work a full day at my firm and then at night go home and try to figure out how to set up Dropbox or a scanner or you know, set up an LLC or website and all of those various skills that you have to have if you're in the private sector. Now, like sort of looking back, you know, what do you think, you know, was your biggest misconception about the whole process?
I think one, venturing into church law and just being, you know, the go-to attorney for churches, not really understanding what that market was. That, It primarily exists when churches are in need of counsel, but, you know, it was an area that still needs to be addressed and, you know, broken through. And I'm not giving that up altogether. I think that's kind of my retirement type gig, you know, working for churches as in-house counsel. But right now, when, you know, needing to pay the bills, needing to pay the rent and make a living, you know, I realized that that couldn't be the only thing I did.
Sure. And, you know, how is it that, you know, when you're in government work and, you know, you're thinking about church, how is it that you go about getting your first clients?
So, again, it went back to the research that I did. I did buy that book, How to Start a Small, or How to Start Your Own Law Firm. And so, you know, creating that list, I had to go out on for medical leave at one point. And during my medical leave, you know, when I'm recovering, I would just sit at home and create lists. So I thought of everybody that I knew. I had come in contact with so many attorneys as a prosecutor that I went through, racked my brain, thought about my current cases, and just created two different lists, one with attorneys and a couple of other professionals, and then one with just family and friends and people that I knew. And when I started, I'll never forget it. My last day at work was May 1st. My friend told me that that's the best way to keep your medical coverage for at least a month is to go into at least that month. And so May 2nd, I get up freaking out thinking, you need a job. And I realized, no, you have one. Let's go into the office and get to work. And so I did mailings. I sent things out to individuals. And I think my first client, I'm not exactly sure how they got to me. It might have been a friend of a friend contacted my office. And it just kind of built from there. Started doing Facebook, opened up a Facebook, created a website. That took me forever to do. I did it myself. And so just by that, word of mouth has been helpful. Referrals have been helpful. But that first day, it was really just sending out letters to everybody I knew.
I think that that's right, right? You go and you tap your market, you let them know what you're doing. And, you know, it's I think the right way, you know, to really start. And, you know, what is it? I know you spend a lot of time, you listen to podcasts, you're very involved with, you know, law practice management. You know, what are the sort of two or three things in the past, I don't know, year or so that you've changed that have made all the difference?
I think first and foremost, just narrowing my focus in terms of my practice. I was taking on different things and different projects. People would, you know, friends of mine would come to me with something that was not exactly what I do, but because I wanted to help them, I tackled it, you know, didn't see an interest, but focusing my practice on children. And it means something to me personally. You know, I've used to teach Sunday school. I'm always involved with the kids and, you know, practices at church regarding kids. And so I felt it was necessary to just hone in on what is it that I really like doing. And so, you know, and I realized through probate court, I became a panel attorney for the probate court, that was another area of law that people don't know much about in terms of dealing with child custody issues, especially grandparents. Who are caring for children and, you know, need to have legal custody for them. You know, probate court is a kinder, gentler court in that sense, in terms of just being able to get guardianship in an easier way than going through family court and doing those kinds of things. And so then I thought about estate planning, and it was a nice balance between the two. So, you know, sometimes dealing with kids' issues, it can be heavy. There's a lot of emotion to it. And then dealing with estate planning, it's nice when, you know, families get to the point where they know everything is all set so that if they, you know, aren't here anymore and they die, they know that their kids are taken care of, their grandkids are taken care of. So I like doing that piece of it.
Sure. And just on that note, Nicole, I'm just going to give a read from our sponsor. The Tiger Tactics team had a very heavy presence at one of the best legal marketing and firm building conferences in the country. Maximum Lawyer Conference 2019. Nicole, I was there, and I know you're a fan of Tyson and Jim and the podcast.
I am.
It was phenomenal. I really hope next year you'll be out in St. Louis, because it was just wonderful to be around so many engaged, positive attorneys trying to uplift each other and share what's working and what's not with each other. Because next year's conference is going to be even bigger and better. And you can get information about MaxLawCon 2020 by going to MaximumLawyer.com. It was really phenomenal.
I'm looking forward to it. Actually, when I found out about it, it was a bit too late, and I had already had a trip around that same time. But I'm thinking that would be a great experience, just to be around individuals who are like-minded.
Yep, it very much is. Cool. You run a very tech forward process. You know, what's the one piece of tech that you would recommend to others?
Let's see. I can't live without my ScanSnap. I will say that. My scanner, it helps me so much in terms of it scans so quickly and it scans both sides, but I wanted to make sure that I'm as paperless as possible. I'm not quite where I'd love to be, because I still, when you go to court, especially family court, you know, it's quick. And so you can't, you know, just go on screen and take 10 minutes just to find something. So it becomes necessary to have something there, but it's helpful when the files are here and I may want to work from home. I don't have to carry everything with me because it's all uploaded for me. So my tech would be my scanner and then Google Drive. I know you said one, I'm sorry.
No, your scanner, those things, I mean, they work in tandem and they work hand in hand. And yeah, I mean, I think being paperless was really one of the impetuses for me going out and doing my own firm. If you're not paperless in 2019, I mean, you're probably doing it wrong. Nicole, I know one of the things that we've talked about is hiring people. And, you know, can you tell us about that, what you've gone through with that? Because I think for me, that was one of the hardest things, right? You're a solo. Maybe you get a little bit ahead one month. Maybe, is it going to continue? You know, how do you, support a payroll? And that's a struggle I think, you know, we all have. So can you tell us about that?
So that was tough. And in the beginning, I tried to do everything myself. And I found that it was disheartening to get to the point where you've reached the end of an 8, 9, 10 hour day and look up and see that you've only billed 2 hours. And I would get to the end and think, what did you do all day long? I didn't put a lot of thought into the fact that how long did it take to return calls? How long did it take to open up mail? How long did it take to send out letters? Things like that. And what concerned me was I would get back to the office at the end of the day and there would be 9 messages for me. And, you know, those were prospective calls, they were client calls, and that bothered me the most. So that's when I made a decision on just targeting what I thought was most essential for me, which was someone who could take calls, return calls, and also schedule, you know, potential clients for a consult. And so finding someone, it was interesting. I was working with a church and the secretary happened to just be on top of everything that I needed for our case. And I, you know, just happened to ask her, would you be interested? And it just started there. And she's just been a delight. I consider her a blessing to me in that she just has the best personality with people. She has a lot of patience and she will listen to their stories and they feel so comfortable with her that they end up scheduling an appointment with me. She fucks that up.
Hiring makes all the difference. And we're T-minus a minute here and I'm going to end it like we always end the podcast. Now, Nicole, you've gone through, you get a lot of information. You talk to a lot of people. What's the best advice that you've received?
I would say to go ahead, if you have that dream, if you have a thought about opening up a law firm, do your research, save your money, but go forward. You will never know what you were able to accomplish if you don't take that leap of faith. It is easier to sit at a job earning that paycheck, but when it's not enough in terms of being able to pursue your dreams, and you have no idea what you're capable of doing until you actually try.
Well, that is great advice. Thank you so much for being on today's episode.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast. If you have read Tiger Tactics and want to be a guest, please visit Amazon.com to leave a review or go to TigerTacticsBook.com to join our mailing list.